How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez and Dave Meltzer here on Wrestling Observer Radio. It is late Monday night, July 14th, 2008, here at figure4online.com/wrestlingobserver.com. Here to talk about Raw, a very newsworthy Raw, and a bunch of news, of course, and questions, but let's seriously just start talking about Raw. Last night, we were talking about TNA, and we talked about how it was a good show with a horrible ending. Well, they trumped it tonight.
Yeah, that was a really bad ending.
That was hideous.
Oh, so bad. I mean, I guess JBL, like, killed John Cena. So does that mean that we're not going to get the pay-per-view match? Or is he going to come out, like, as a mummy? Or who knows?
I have no idea.
Oh, it was such a stupid... Plus, it's like, they want to get, you know... It's like, it's stuff that's already been done before, and... It's like nobody even cared, so why do it?
You know, I was watching SmackDown a couple of days ago, and they did the thing with Festus, where Festus, of course, is going crazy, and the heels get the count out, so the bell rings, and he's immobile again, and they beat him up. And it's so stupid, but at least it makes sense in its stupidity, if you know what I mean.
I actually thought that whole thing was really clever.
It is
for
clever.
What it was. It's stupid, but once you buy into the bell thing, it all made sense.
Yeah,
so
that's the whole point. It just makes sense in its stupidity. But tonight, it was like, okay, nobody can believe that the guy was really killed.
No.
Nobody could believe. I mean,
nobody could believe he's really hurt.
Nobody could believe that you would really try and kill a guy on national TV with cameras everywhere. I mean, everything about this was just so stupid.
Especially because. The guy who did it was JBL, who, it's like, that doesn't even fit JBL's character.
No.
Like Kane or something could be, like, a murderer or some, like, psycho guy, you know what I mean?
Sure.
But JBL's, like, the businessman. He's not the murdering type. Although, then again, I guess the murdering type in this business, who knows?
Well, that's true. He's...
Oh, boy.
But, yeah, risking his entire empire to run John Cena over with a car.
Yeah, plus, you know, thinking about that, it probably isn't a good idea to be doing murders on wrestling.
No.
Even attempted murders. But, I mean, here's the thing. If they had done this... Remember when they did this in the Hogan Rock angle many, many years ago, which was also pretty stupid. But to me, it's like, if he had just hit him with a tire iron, you know, laid him out and left with blood and then the show ended, I mean, that would have been a good finish. In the sense of, you know, Cena's looking for revenge and, you know, he could put a bandage on his head or something like that on the pay-per-view. And that's fine. It's like, it's plausible. But this is just complete stupidity.
Yeah. And actually, when I watched it, my first question was, don't tell me Cena actually failed a wellness test and had to be written out. Because why else would you not hit him just with a tire iron? This was like something to get the guy off TV for 30 days.
Yeah, I think he's going to be in the pay-per-view.
then it's even dumber.
What do they say? Go on the website. Tell me what they say. They probably don't say anything, right?
I'll check it out here.
What?
I'll check it out here while we're going.
Okay, because if they were going to take him off the pay-per-view, they would do that probably tonight or tomorrow.
You don't think we're going to have false advertising here on the part of WWE?
No, they would have to do it by tomorrow, and I don't see him. I think he's going to be on the pay-per-view.
Oh, here we go already. They've already ruined the angle for us. JBL took his hatred for John Cena to new heights on Raw, luring the chain gang commander to the parking lot where he appeared to crash his car into Cena's prone body. WWE.com has learned that Cena was grazed and escaped the attack.
Well, that was even stupider.
So it's already over.
Okay, well, there we go.
Well, there you go. He didn't fail a wellness test, everybody.
I didn't think he did.
No.
You know what? If he did, it would be covered up.
Yeah.
So you didn't have to worry about it. Like, someone actually brought that up to me a couple hours ago and said, oh, you know, do you think he failed the wellness test? It's like, John Cena doesn't fail the wellness test. It's just, you got to understand, you know, you think that's like, it's all straight and this and that. John Cena doesn't fail the wellness test.
Only geeks.
Yeah, basically. Certain guys are protected, and it would be that way in almost any form of, you know, entertainment when the people who are making the money are also the people who... administer the punishment. If it was like outside, you know, like it's the California State Athletic Commission, then I would say, yeah, John Cena could fail. But if it's the WWE drug testing, no, he cannot fail.
Might as well mention very quickly before we continue on Raw, since you mentioned it, CSAC announced today that they are not instituting the recommended weight classes. They are not I guess the elbows from 12 to 6, still banned.
They are still eliminated.
That's right. But you cannot smother your opponent. That's fair.
They've decided to, but you know what's screwed? Is that the smothering, there's a lot of states that are allowing the smothering. So it's like the one thing that I didn't want is like, whatever it was, I just wanted all the states to like have the same rules. Because these fighters, I mean, I gotta say this about fighters. I mean, this is a bad generalization. Okay, so I don't want to generalize because that's usually stupid to do. So here's the deal: some fighters, okay, not all fighters, but some fighters are completely stupid. Okay, just like everyone is completely stupid. I'm not saying all fighters are stupid, but some are. And I mean, like, and if you don't believe me, look at some of the reactions to the judging. And I'm not saying like, oh, well, they thought Quentin Jackson won, so they're stupid. I don't mean anything like that. I mean, you know, that UFC fixed it, or that the good one, which is the Brandon Vera thing that I read. When I read Brandon Vera go like, oh, those judges, you know, like, it should have been a split decision. It's like, okay, you are an idiot. That's all I got to say. I mean, at this stage of the game, anyone who doesn't have that figured out is an idiot. Okay, so anyway, so you have someone who doesn't even understand judging, and a lot of the fighters don't. And you're hoping that they fight in Nevada and they fight in California and they're going to know the difference in the rules when they don't even know how the frickin' judging works. You know what I'm saying?
It's asking a lot.
When you have different rules in different states, it's asking too much for these fighters. The rules should be the same, and that's not the fighter's fault. I guess it is in the sense that you need to know the rules when you're fighting, and there are some shows that allow elbows and some shows that don't, and all this. But to me, the rules should be unified. I mean, maybe I could see like amateur rules where you don't allow elbows, but then professional matches you allow elbows or something like that. That I can see. But whatever it is, the fighters should, you know, they shouldn't be put in this position where, you know, well, back of the head means, you know, the Mohawk line in one state, and it means the earphone line in the other state, and all this. It's just ridiculous. I mean, let's face it. I mean, the people who are covering the sport can't even figure out these rules half the time. So you're asking the fighters to know, and then they're going to get penalized. So anyway, my whole tirade on all this is that I don't disagree with their rulings, but whatever it is, it should be uniform, and they shouldn't have taken the smothering rule in until, you know, it was, you know, I mean, it basically everyone agreed to do it because, you know, if someone goes in there and does it, like in a fight, let's just say in the Affliction card on Saturday, you know, it's kind of unfair because they've been fighting with a different set of rules, and how would they know?
So there's going to be a good rant in the Observer about this one this week.
No, not really. I mean, because it's all going to get sorted out because they're appointing a committee, and in the end, there is going to be unified rules real soon. Whatever they will be, everyone, you know, all the key people, you know, Nevada Commission, Jersey Commission, Armando Garcia, they're all part of this committee that's going to be reviewing the rules of MMA. So to me, it's like, it's all going to be cleared up. I just wish that until it was cleared up, that everybody just kind of put a hold on the rules and just use the rules that they've been using. So, not really a rant. I'm just my thoughts.
Yeah, they also announced that back of the head is the old put on the headphones and
the headphone line. Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go, all of you aspiring fighters. Those are the rules in California right now. So you're gonna have to abide by them.
It'll be a couple months before they get the unified rules in effect. Whatever the new unified rules will be.
I love the line. I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was something like they considered the smothering tricky. And that's why it was not allowed.
Unsportsmanlike.
Unsportsmanlike, and
it is kind of unsportsmanlike. I mean, no one's ever gotten hurt by it, so I don't know. It's not an emotional thing to me. If people were getting hurt by it, then I would say, yeah, get rid of it. If they're not getting hurt by it, I don't know. But if they eliminate it, I don't care. It's not a necessary thing. Oh my God, you know, you can't put your hand over a guy's mouth and nose. You know, it's not. You know, I'd rather see other skills than that anyway.
An unsportsmanlike trick is the way it is described in the new CSAC deal. So
okay,
there you go. Now let's get back to Raw here very quickly.
All right.
I thought I really liked the segment with Hacksaw. I don't know why.
Yeah, that was kind of cool.
I just thought he was so great being sad.
Yeah, he was so sad. But he did. It's like, I hate when baby faces are made to look like geeks, though. You know, even Hacksaw, whose role for the last 10 years has been to be a geek, but I thought that he played it real well, and I liked the line where they said, like, you know, you're a 54-year-old man walking around in gym shorts with the same 2x4 you had 25 years ago.
Yeah.
They were, that was the best segment for Cody Rhodes and Ted DiBiase since they got there.
Yeah.
Yeah, very strong for character elevation. And, you know, they got him in the main event, and boy, they did a lot of work in the main event. Did JBL ever get in?
He did, but he was
very briefly,
and it just from watching him walk around. I mean, it looks to me
hurt.
Like his back is shot.
No, he's hurting. I'm, you know, I mean, he came back thinking that, you know, he wanted to go out a certain way, but he's hurting.
He's not going out that way.
No.
So, yeah, I really like that one. And, you know, another thing I noticed about this show was we talked last night about Joe and Booker and that main event and trying to figure out, all right, who's...
Oh, by the way, I have all the answers on that.
Okay.
Okay. Booker Sting heel, Joe didn't turn heel, and Sting's not going heel.
Okay, so...
That's the answers. I mean, you couldn't tell that from watching the show.
Yes, watching it, it was very, very confusing. But the thing on this show that I guess it happens all the time.
Oh, they're doing a cage match on the next pay-per-view between... Joe and Booker, and Sting's not in the match, so why they did what they did at the end, you know, it's like, okay, how does this set up a cage match?
It's a mystery.
Is it a cage match, like, because someone runs away?
One guy tried to get away?
Or
yeah.
Something?
Yeah.
Not like, well, I guess in a cage, Charmel can't slap him, and that is what precipitated everything. I guess.
Wow. They have to be in a cage to keep Charmel out.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
And keep Sting out.
The point I was trying to make was we argued about who was who last night. It was a babyface, who was a heel, and I just liked on this show that everything was so simple and effective. You had
that Phoenix turned babyface.
We had the Kofi Kingston deal where he came out to make the save for Mickey, so the people loved him, and then she stayed there for him, and so he cut kind of a rub right there. He won his match.
And that match got way more heat than they would have gotten if they just put it out there cold,
yep.
Or it would have died.
That's the best usage of Kofi since he won the belt.
Yep.
And then when the tag champs came out, I mean, they came out and they kicked the blonde girl out of the ring, and they got heat by doing that. They didn't have to yell at the people. They just got rid of her, and they had heat, and then they cut a good promo, and then Hacksaw was great. I just thought it was a great show to show who is who should be hated. I think they did a good job trying to get some young guys over. They got the rub for the young guys in the main event.
Yep.
And,
oh, yeah.
I mean, I think aside from that last angle, I really thought there was some good stuff on this show.
Oh, I liked the whole show until the end, and in the end I just thought it was just like... You know, but then again, I can almost say the same thing about the TNA show, even though the booking in some spots...
I can say the same thing about the TNA show, exactly.
What?
I can say the exact same thing about the TNA show.
But, I mean, the TNA show had great... This one didn't have great wrestling, but I thought that...
It was a good
show.
Creative-wise,
it was pretty fun. And then the TNA show had the great wrestling. Creative-wise, it was okay. You know, it wasn't anything special.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you went off the air in both... You know, in one, you just went off the air just confused. And the other one, you went off the air just going like, you know, why did they do this? I mean, what was the purpose?
I think I know the purpose, but what they did I thought was stupid. I mean, obviously the idea is we've had...
Tell me, what's the purpose? Because I didn't get it.
Well, we've had the warning for 2 weeks now from Shane and Steph that you guys need to clean up your act. And
this was the final
straw that breaks the camel's back.
Does that mean we get Stephanie back on TV? No, we can't get her on TV.
We can't get
She's
her.
Like 9 months pregnant.
Well, they may assign Regal.
Now.
They may assign Regal back to the role.
That's true, and isn't his time up like in a week?
His time is up Saturday, I think.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, so there we go.
So that may end up being what happens.
Yeah, so maybe he can come back on Monday.
I just wish they would have done something less preposterous than what they did. Oh, and we didn't even talk about Kane, the big angle from last week, and we still don't know.
Well, now he has a bag. We still don't know who the guy is. They didn't really push it, who it was anyway.
No.
You know, other than, did he ask Punk? Yes, who did he ask? If the guy was still alive.
I don't think he asked anybody. He just apologized.
I thought he asked somebody at some point.
I think he mentioned something with Punk, actually,
I thought he like brought it up to Punk. But
I think he did, because I remember, because on our board, the theory is that in the bag is his old Kane mask, and so he's basically asking, is this old Mad Kane dead or alive? I have no idea if that's it.
Okay,
it's
whatever.
As good a theory as anything.
Yeah, I think that the mask Kane got put to rest when Festus, you know, screwed up the role.
Yeah, could be.
Yeah.
So I guess
maybe it's he's going to discover that it's Festus.
That's
the old Kane.
Maybe.
No. What?
Any idea is as good as any at this point.
You know, that won't be one.
I guess
that's not a good one. That's not a recommended idea.
No. Now, the last one I guess we got to talk about, the last big thing of note is after the show went off the air, Batista destroyed CM Punk in a non-title squash match in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
What a night for that
guy.
I think
that's everyone talking, oh my God, they're going to beat Punk on the pay-per-view. So that makes me think they're not going to beat Punk on the pay-per-view.
Yeah. When I saw Batista sort of pat him on the head and then spine buster him after he got shoved, I kind of thought, okay, well, Punk's retaining somehow on Sunday. And
but Batista's just going to hammer him the whole match, and then it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a banana peel win, though.
Fluke win, or somebody runs in, or something.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I would expect, and I think really after the last, especially if this show does a 3-5, I think there's no chance Punk is losing. Although, I don't know if they necessarily attribute all of that to CM Punk.
I don't think the rating even matters. I think they're going to do what they were going to do no matter what. But I just don't see them taking the title this quick.
Even if the show had done like a 2-8 ever since he got the
belt? No. If the show had done a 2-8, he'd have gotten all the blame and they'd have taken the title from him for sure, yeah.
Okay.
But it didn't, so he doesn't have to worry.
Yeah. So that was Raw. Those were the main deals there on the show.
Beth Phoenix turned babyface.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Beth.
And then what else?
I did love Beth and Santino, actually.
I thought that was reasonably, you know, that was pretty entertaining for what it was.
I mean, they're never going to do anything with
him. Anyway.
Yeah, they're never doing anything with him.
I'm just wondering how many people clicked off during that Gene Snitsky, Jamie Noble segment, like, at, you know, that late in the show.
I hope none.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of people probably did, though.
Well, the match, the in-ring stuff wasn't so great, but I thought Noble's promo on him was awesome. It entertained me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Beth Phoenix beat up Santino, and I guess she's a babyface now, so there you go. Now, the other news, I guess, for today, what do we know so far? Jesse Ventura is not running?
I actually saw a lot of that show. Oh, my God, he cut a wrestling promo in the middle of that thing on Larry King. It was, and he cut it like on the American public about how like now we're hurting because, you know, like we're in this war in Iraq, but we weren't hurting, and now we're hurting because, you know, the gas prices are so high, and it was like he was happy or something, and he's like, the reason he's not running for Senate is because his daughter, you know, came and says, please don't run because I don't want the media to come after me. It's like, oh yeah, good, sure.
She doesn't want the media to come after.
He was a piece of work tonight. I will say this, he speaks real well. And I mean, he comes off, well, I shouldn't say that. I don't say come, he used to come off really good. In spots, I think in short bursts, he comes off good. But when you see him for like an hour, he completely exposes himself. And I don't know if like Larry King didn't care, because somewhere in there, I just got the impression that Larry King was doing this, oh my God, I got a nut for a guest, and kind of like just trying to like, you know what I mean? He was like, I got to get through this show, but I'm just like not wanting to be on this show. That was the reaction that I got watching him.
Wow. That's saying something from Larry King.
Yeah.
So that's, I guess, some big news for Tuesday. Any other notes of what else has been going on today?
Well, some form of a wedding on Friday.
Some form of a wedding, that's
wedding
right.
Wedding or a reception or something.
We'll know tomorrow. And
yeah.
ECW.
Yeah, tomorrow in Charlotte.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's TV.
And Ric Flair may or may not be on TV.
Yeah, the last I heard, probably no. But, you know, I mean, SmackDown, you know, they change these shows so many times, who's to say. But, yeah. I mean, if he's going to be on, I hope it's more than, like, the last time he was on TV.
I hope he marries him.
With a DVD just coming out, you would think that he should be on TV.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I wish they'd have an acceptable role for him on TV as opposed to the EDC that they've done.
Maybe he can be the authority that comes back next week.
It could be.
Yeah.
So that's and then of course tomorrow on ECW we've got the Morrison and Miz against the Hardys, which I don't know if they. I mean, I think I saw one note of it tonight, but I think if they plug that match or if enough people know about it,
I think that is certainly going to do above like a 1-1.
Yeah, they may.
They've been doing 1-4s. So.
They've been doing 1-4s. I think they'll. I think they may hold steady actually with that
they
match.
They may even go up.
But
they may go up.
They may, but I just think that because I watched that show last week and I couldn't imagine anybody ever watching it again, except for the comedy value.
Oh my God!
So I think if you take away the people that gave up after that show and add in the people that are going to watch this show.
Yeah, but the Hardys, the people to see the Hardys, I think that's like kind of a big deal. But yeah. Oh, you know what I thought was hilarious? Was on the show tonight, they kept plugging like the poll which champion is most likely to lose the title, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I could be wrong about this, but at no point during the entire show, I mean, they may have plugged it at the end when I wasn't paying attention, but I know that during the show when they do the plug, it's like, yeah, I think people know that Hunter is wrestling Edge, and obviously on that show they know that Punk's wrestling Batista because it was made clear, you know, on the show, and clips were shown of Batista winning the four-way and all this. But of the people watching, why would anyone have a clue that Mark Henry was even wrestling Tommy Dreamer? It's like, Mark Henry, I'm going like, okay, you know, if you go on the website, you can see it. But even if you did, who would even care? And then it's like, but if you're just watching TV, which is still the majority of the people, you wouldn't even know.
No idea.
It's one of those things where they are assuming too much knowledge of their audience, not realizing that, you know, the casual fan is the casual fan. And but then again, maybe they're just thinking, casual fan, they're not buying our pay-per-views anyway.
Well, let me give you another good example. This is from TNA. Did they mention that BG James was now an official backstage interviewer?
No, he just was.
Exactly. I watched it, and at first for like 30, I shouldn't say 30 seconds.
He was actually good, too. He was good.
But, I mean, yeah. Very, very briefly when I watched it, I was like, what, he's in this match? And it took me a while to realize, no, this is his new role. And you'd written about it on the front page, and I thought, the people that read that may be the only people that have any knowledge of this right now.
Yeah. And then
he's cutting a promo on these people, and he's not even in the match.
Yeah, well. Yeah, they assume too much knowledge, a lot. Because they live in the bubble. We live in the bubble too, but at least I don't assume knowledge of people.
I do here and there, but what can you do? Let's do some questions here. Oh, we got a lot of them. I have a bunch from yesterday still that we didn't go over.
Oh, I got tons of questions. A lot of good ones too.
All right, well, I'll start here. This person, Duke, asks, obviously the rap on Hogan throughout his career is that he never was a good worker, although many people say he worked a different style in Japan and actually wasn't bad over there. I think that's overstated, by the way.
He was different in Japan because he knew that, you know, there were different requirements. That's all.
And he says, but work-wise, what would you say are some of Hogan's best matches in North America, where it wasn't just him being carried the entire time?
I don't know. I mean,
let's take out the carried part. What were some of Hogan's best matches in North America? Warrior?
I thought that he did a great job in the Warrior match, but the Warrior match was one of those matches that it's like when you watched it live, it was really good, but then like if you watch it a second time, it's not really all that good.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, people say the Hogan-Rock match was really great, but I think that's probably the same thing. You know, when I watched that on, you know, when I watched that.
Actually, when we watched that live, I remember people thinking it wasn't very good.
I didn't watch that live because I was doing the Wrestling Observer Live. So when I watched it later, like, I mean, like knowing all the spots that were going to happen, I didn't think it was really that great of a match. You know, although, you know, and then people got mad at me for that. But I mean, you know, the heat was great, but I just thought it was, you know, I mean, Hogan had the bad rib and he really couldn't do much. They were both over. I mean, they were super over guys on that night, but as what they did, I didn't think it was really that great. And then when I watched it again, I didn't, you know, it even like convinced me more. This isn't really that great of a match, but the heat was great. So, you know, but that's a, you know, that's so if that's the goal, if the goal is just heat, yeah, you know, that was a great match. I'm trying to think like his real. He had really good matches that I remember with the Big Boss Man. That was more because Boss Man was willing to take a lot of bumps for him. What else? Ric Flair. Although those were basically Ric Flair matches.
God, he
must have had some good matches, right?
Shawn.
Yeah, but
that was all Shawn.
You know, yeah, exactly. I don't know.
Let's move on to the next question here.
Okay. Let's see. I grew up in mid-Missouri where the only wrestling TV we got was Central States Wrestling. Oh, my God. Central States Wrestling. I mean, we got that in the late 70s. We got it here. And then I watched it later in the 80s. And that was one of the worst. That was one of the worst ones. Fortunately, I didn't start watching wrestling until we got World Class. And a few months later, we got Mid-South. Well, no, that was a lot better. So needless to say, I was never impressed with Central States. I tried to watch a few times when Sam Houston was the champion, but it was pretty bad. Okay, that's after Crockett took over the company for his short-lived run, using Central States as his developmental territory, which completely died, and then I think Geigel went and restarted and didn't do any business either. What territories would you say are the worst TV? Would Central States make the short list? Yeah, I mean, Central States was pretty bad. The worst TVs, I mean, as far as low rent, I always thought the Vancouver TV was pretty bad, the All-Star Wrestling.
Can I throw Impact in there?
Not even. It's a different level than what we're talking about. This is really cheesy, bad TV.
I see.
Whatever the group is that Harry Thornton announced, I think it was Joe Kazana's father, promotion in Eastern Tennessee. I just remember maybe Chattanooga. That was some awful television. I'm trying to think what else. I think Jerry Blackwell's TV I thought was pretty bad at times. But Central States was pretty bad, yeah, absolutely. It seemed that way to me. When I was young, I turned it on, and I saw Mr. Pogo and Rufus Jones, and it just wasn't good. My other question deals with St. Louis wrestling. I could tell on the rare occasions I got to go to my grandparents and sneak away and watch wrestling at the Chase that this was a show worth seeing. My uncle never talked about wrestling much, but I remember he was so angry when Bulldog Bob Brown took a payoff as the special referee and cost Harley Race the world title as a special referee in a match with Ric Flair. I mean, he and his friend were irate. They were irate. And they went to see a tag match with Race and Bruiser Brody against Ric Flair and Bulldog Bob Brown. I could have had Brody and Brown mixed up. Actually, you don't. I remember the angle. That's exactly what happened. Any idea when this was and if it was Sam Muschnick in charge? Actually, that was a Kansas City angle because St. Louis, they didn't do the bribing of the thing. Or maybe they did later and they played it on Wrestling at the Chase after Muschnick was out when Geigel and Race were running the company. They may have played it. But I remember that angle, which was where Bob Brown had been a babyface in the Central States for years and years. He was like that home babyface. And then he turned, he took the payoff and turned heel, and he became a really hot heel, as hot a heel as you can be when you're playing in front of, 400 people. But that was a Kansas City angle, and it led to that tag match. And that tag match with Brody and Race against Flair and Bob Brown, I think that did real big business, at least by the standards. I don't remember if it was a sellout Memorial Hall or they went to a bigger building, but I remember that was a pretty big deal. So anyway, go ahead.
This person here asks, what is the contractual status of UFC referees? We have seen them officiating other MMA shows, which leads me to believe they are not UFC employees. Are they considered independent contractors, or are they UFC employees with open
referees
agreements?
Referees are assigned by the state athletic commissions. I mean, UFC has, unless you're talking about the UK shows, in which case on the UK shows, the UFC hires the referees and brings them over. But the referees are... if it's whatever state does it, they hire the referees. UFC can, have influence and ask, we want, can you, instead of just using your state referees, can you use John McCarthy? It wouldn't be a day, but in the past, that's what they would do. And usually the states say that that's okay. He's a good referee, and we'll let him do it. But the state would generally still decide, who does what matches and things like that. So it's not a... UFC thing.
That was actually brings up a question. Before John McCarthy had the falling out, so to speak, with UFC or retired, I mean, how would it have worked if, say, Elite XC were running a show and could John McCarthy have been assigned to that show because he's such a...
No, okay, here's the deal with John McCarthy. If John McCarthy wanted to do the show... and the commission assigned him, then he would do the show, and it wouldn't be a problem. John McCarthy himself only wanted to do UFC shows, or I think he did WEC also, but he would, he would say, which shows he was available for and which shows he wasn't. You can turn down an assignment. So he just made it very clear to these commissions that, he's not interested in working other shows, and so he wouldn't have been assigned other shows.
I see. All right, go ahead.
Let's see, in your Yahoo story on Fedor Emelianenko, you have the top moment being the fight with Yuji Nagata on New Year's Eve, and because it caused Pride to be kicked off TV. Well, the fight didn't, but the repercussions of the fight did. I'd never heard that story, that was the incident that was reported in the tabloid. Do you feel, had Fedor not fought on that Inoki card, that Pride would still be on television today? Or would they have eventually gotten in trouble, and would the story have not gotten out? It seems even after the suspicious death of Morishita, they were able to keep certain issues out of the press. You never know. You know what I mean? It's like you never know. But I would think that if Fedor had not jumped, or if that's even the right word, had not switched over on that New Year's Eve to fight Nagata, and then the Yakuza didn't get involved and threaten the life of Kawamata, I think was his name. And then Kawamata, after hiding out, came back to Japan and then, like, spilled his guts to a reporter. If all that had not happened, I think Pride would probably still be in business and on network TV. It's funny how, like, things like that, you know, change history. I mean, yeah. It's really amazing when you look back at so much of history is luck and flukes and right place at the right time and things like that. I mean, like, it's like, you know, what if like Mr. T would have broken his leg a week before WrestleMania and WrestleMania would have died, or Mr. T would have not shown up, which actually came pretty darn close to happening because the guy got stage fright and wanted to run away, and Hogan and Piper had to beg him to come back. You know, or what if he got arrested like a week before or something and it wasn't in the show and the thing bombed? I mean, what would have happened? Vince had everything riding on it at that point. You know, what if Jim Crockett had done this great pay-per-view and stayed in business? What if, you know, what if Eric didn't lose his mind, you know?
Yeah, I think when you look at a lot of those things, I mean, it's sort of, some of them, it's like one tiny little thing changed history in a great way.
What if David Von Erich didn't die?
Or I think also sometimes things may just be inevitable, and things would have slowed or whatever happened would have come to pass in a different way.
Yeah, but you don't know.
You don't know, and actually that leads me to this question right here. Because,
I mean, like what if Spike TV had said no to UFC? Well, UFC might not. We wouldn't even have this MMA boom. And I would say that's actually pretty much for sure. You know, because nobody else was gonna, you know, have the guts to put it on a, you know, in something where it would have gotten popular. I mean, it would exist, but there'd be no MMA boom.
Yeah, but, I mean, at the same time, would not perhaps at some point somebody would have given them a shot? You would think
maybe.
At some point it would be inevitable.
Maybe,
it just would have been put off maybe 10 years.
They were begging for years and nobody would touch them. And, I mean, I think that the reason Spike gave them a shot was because they wanted some leverage because they were losing WWE. If they didn't think they were losing WWE, they might not have given them a shot. Or what if Vince had said no? You know, which a lot, you know, I mean, because, you know, Vince approved it. If Vince would have said no, you know, and I mean, and if Vince knew today what he knew then, would he have said no? Absolutely. So, I don't know.
That leads to this question here. Steve Austin winning King of the Ring in 96 is always attributed to Triple H being punished after the click curtain call. And as such, people try to claim that Austin would never have received the push if it wasn't for the incident. However, Austin wasn't immediately pushed to the moon after the match. He faced Yokozuna and only really began to take off when his feud with Bret Hart started the same year. In light of this, my question is, do you think Austin would still have ascended to the same heights even if Triple H had won the King of the Ring as originally intended?
Yes. If he'd gotten the right break at the right time and gotten hot. I mean, it's like one of those things where you don't know if something, you know, if he would have gotten those chances. Like, if he would have had the chance to work with the right guys on top, I think eventually, yeah, everything would have happened the same way it did. But, you know, if something, I've never thought that the Triple H, you know, not winning King of the Ring, you know, was the catalyst for Austin's big push. I always thought that Austin's big push came when somebody just sort of recognized that he was over, you know, which was months after that, actually. And then it's sort of like, wow, he's over, let's go with him.
Yeah.
And he would have gotten over. I mean, the King of the Ring was, it really wasn't a big part of it. But it was part of it. It was part of it, though. So, yeah.
All right, go for it.
All right, let's see. We all know you write those great obituaries when someone passes away. Do you write them in advance? Well, no, I do not write them in advance. No.
A lot of news outlets do that.
Yeah, I know. They have, like, certain notes and things like that. No, I've never... I don't have time to worry about them in advance. I mean, even when people, like, are dying, you know, and you're told that, like, you know, it's a matter of days, I still have never written anything like that in advance or even prepared for anyone, actually.
Just feels like the wrong thing to do?
No, because, you hope there's going to be a turnaround.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, like Penny Banner, when I was told, like, you know, I didn't, until I heard that she was dead, I didn't start working on that obituary.
Yeah. This person here asks, he has a two-part question. Number one, why is it that WWE is allowed to show old footage with the original block-style WWF logo unblurred, but not the scratched logo? I understand the whole story with the other WWF. Just curious why one logo is okay and not the other.
I don't know. It's probably, you know...
I always sort of had the impression that the scratch logo, you could easily make out the letters WWF, and with the actual block logo, it was designed in such a way that it was a little more difficult.
Perhaps. Whatever it was, it was part of the agreement in the court case in England. You know, that they made them do it with one, and they weren't that strong on the other. The judge didn't rule it was confusing the marketplace as much.
Yeah. And he also asked, do you think it's possible that either Vince or his successors, whenever that may happen, would ever approach the World Wildlife Fund and try to come to a deal that would enable WWE to use their 1998 to 2002 footage unblurred? Not a deal to change the name back to WWF or even being able to say WWF, just to be able to unblur the footage? Or is that something that seems inconceivable and impossible?
They would have to pay money. They're not going to just go, okay, yeah, you can do it. And I think the WWE doesn't want to pay money to WWF. That's the whole key, because they feel like if they pay money, then it's like they don't want to pay money to people who they think screwed them, even though they really screwed themselves. Sounds familiar. That's why I don't think it'll happen. But I mean, it could. But yeah, they'd have to pay.
Now they could have continued to just call it the World Wrestling Federation. That was not the issue. It was that
they couldn't use WWF. The WWF lettering and marketing.
Yeah, and of course Vince.
But they had, you know, and that was their own fault, because you know what? If Vince hadn't assigned that in 90, whatever it was, early 90s, I don't believe that there would have been any confusion in the marketplace. You know, he signed a document saying he wouldn't market it, and they said, good, you know, go market it in the United States and Canada. We don't care. Just don't come to Europe with it. And then he went and came to Europe with it. Then he put it on the internet, where specifically, like, you can't put it as the name of your website, and they did anyway.
Well, that was inevitable, that the website issue was going to come up at some point.
Well, then, yeah, I guess so.
But I mean,
they didn't assign a document.
Could have done WWF Wrestling, or, I don't know.
Yeah, they could have done it. Yeah, it could have been WWFWrestling.com. It wouldn't have been an issue. WorldWrestlingFederation.com.
Yeah. I would think that their issue there would have been, well, wrestling fans can't read or write. That's a lot of letters right there, World Wrestling Federation.
Yeah, right.
So you know how it is. Kind of like how WrestlingObserver.com has been such a detriment all of these years.
I know.
Let's do one more each.
All right.
Go for it.
Do you think the whole Hogan divorce is a work? Absolutely not. There may have been a time where I was suspicious that it might be, but I have zero doubt that thing is not a work. Oh, no. They're definitely getting divorced.
And what a disaster it's been.
Yep. I mean, we all know Hogan's a con man. Yes, we do. He absolutely is. By the way, did you watch Brooke Knows Best?
No, but I read her interview where she talked about how they were asking, didn't you have some issues with your dad earlier this year? And she's like, yeah, we had a little tiff, but my dad is just the most honest person in the world.
I saw that interview.
Was that awesome?
That was awesome.
Talking about no man is as honest as my father, and he's always so truthful. And these years, you don't even know your father.
That's being pretty naive.
You don't say.
I mean, because seriously, as autobiographies go, I actually believe Hogan's autobiography may have been like one of the most dishonest autobiographies I've ever read in my life.
More than China?
Okay, but here's the difference, all right? I think more dishonest, because China's a nutcase. Hulk, he may be a nutcase now, but he wasn't a nutcase the year he wrote that autobiography. He was just lying.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He wasn't confused. He wasn't nothing. He was just telling Hogan stories. You know, whereas China, you know, China's just, you know, she's got problems. You know, and I think China believed it, you know, all that stuff. I don't think I don't know. You know, that would be an interesting psychological thing if Hogan actually believes all those stories. You know, like Andre died. How many days after WrestleMania 3?
Just a few days.
A few days after.
Very shortly after that match where he, and he was 800 pounds at the time, so it was obvious that he was going to pass soon.
Yeah. Didn't he have like a size 28 shoe or something?
Something ridiculously large.
You know, and 89 teeth or something.
And it was a shoot, or it was going to be a shoot. There was grave concern.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Like that. Yeah. You know, what's so funny is like every day, you know, leading up to that match. I mean, like I was really pretty plugged in with a lot of people in WWF, and we were all talking about like, you know, when all that stuff came out, you know, years later, and we're all going like, you know, and I mean, this was Hogan, including Hogan's like best friends in the company, and it's like, boy, we don't remember any of this happening. Did this happen? And I go, no, it never happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it makes a good story. Let's see, where were we? We're back. Oh, so Brooke Knows Best.
I didn't see it. I heard your report, and that was it.
Yeah, that was, it was amusing. I don't know if I would need to see it ever again, though.
Didn't they shoot, like, 19 episodes?
What?
Didn't they shoot, like, 19 episodes of this one?
The season, no, that's 6 or 8, right?
I heard it was a ton of episodes, more than that.
Oh, maybe, I don't know. All I know is that Hogan, like, the scripting of the Hogan character, I can't believe he let himself look like such a geek. I mean, he was just like, when he goes up to the gay guy and says, on a scale of 1 to 10 of gay, you know, what number are you?
Yeah.
What the? What kind of line is that?
Wasn't the answer 10 and he was overjoyed?
Yeah, but what if it's like Jack Tripper and he's lying? And I know Hogan grew up watching Three's Company because, you know, that was his era, you know, that would have been his era.
Yeah.
It's like he's sitting there going like, you know, you're Mr. Roper, Mr. Furley, don't you get it? And anyway, and I don't know, like she's just not that compelling of a character.
No, they're going to need Knobs and Sags and all the geeks over there to make this interesting.
Yeah, but there aren't. There's just the guy, I don't even remember his name, Glenn.
Glenn.
Glenn, her roommate in this freaking luxurious, like, palace apartment, and Hulk is sitting there going like, he's afraid some guy from a helicopter is going to fly above and rappel into her penthouse window and like attack her or something.
Dave, you make fun now, but if your son would have been a daughter, then we'd see what you'd be thinking at about 18.
Yeah, like I'm going to think that someone's going to come down from a helicopter.
Maybe down the chimney. Who knows?
Okay, right.
This last question here is, I recently watched the Inside Pro Wrestling School documentary and was wondering, whatever happened to Tom Howard?
Tom Howard still works at the UPW school, and he did some shoot fighting, and he had an 0 and something or other record. It was a hideous record.
Oops.
And what else? I know he worked Japan for Inoki, I think, not too long ago. And he's one of the key trainers. Actually, he was the main trainer for the celebrities for the Hogan show.
Oh, God.
Celebrity, the Hogan celebrity, you know, Screech and Danny Bonaducci.
Now, that's a show I plan on watching.
Dr. Steve-O's girlfriend or nurse, you know, and whoever else was on that show. Yeah, he was their trainer.
Oh, this will be a great show.
Yeah, I'll probably watch one episode of it, but I don't know how much, you know.
There is a lot of stuff going
on. You know, there's only so much Brutus Beefcake that you can take in one lifetime.
I don't know. Well, that's true. So that's the show for today, everybody. We're going to be back on Wednesday night, and hopefully a lot of news to talk about. We've got The Observer coming out Wednesday morning for everybody here on the website, so you can check that out. And then if you have questions, you can post them on the board or email them to us. Add to the ever-growing list right here, and we'll try and get to as many as we can. But thanks again, Dave.
Very welcome.
And we shall talk to you guys again after a while.